Yep,
do we have consent? Do we have? All right, here we go. Consent to start the show.
This is the consensual podcast.
Yeah.
The sensual and consensual podcast.
Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast. We're back. We're still doing it. And this week, we added one more. We've got our boy Nasty Nate in the house joining us. He suffered through Terminator 3, so you don't have to, unless you're our good friend who's a doctor.
Why, Nate?
Poor Brent
is going to be watching this.
I knew you were going to do this episode. I was looking at the Plex trying to find something. I was like, fuck it. I've never seen this movie. I'll watch it. Why not? I know it's going to be bad.
And what a
great. Alec might have read the Wikipedia and found this out, but this movie is also the only way you can watch this movie is through the Plex. This is one of those movies that's off of all streaming platforms.
Wow. I have a question. Where did Jack Noseworthy even show up in this movie?
Okay, I can answer your question. And this, I don't know if we need to change like the rules or there needs to be some kind of like quorum on this. He was originally in the movie. There is a deleted scene, which I'm sure Goggs has seen at some point, where they're showing like the Cyberdyne Systems robots and they cut to Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's like, hi, I'm Colonel Bill Handy and blah, 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 blah. And the one suit goes, I don't know about the voice. And it cuts to Jack Noseworthy, who with Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice dubbed over goes, we can fix it. So
was it a stinger? I know I've seen that scene.
Yeah, I've seen it too somehow.
Okay.
That sounds like the best scene in the whole movie. And it sounds like it would be.
Like this movie.
God, you've never seen that?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I remember that scene. Oh, okay. I've only watched this movie twice. This time and the other time that ruined Terminator 2 for me. And this movie isn't like a bottle movie, but it all takes place in an. I hate this movie with every fiber of my being. So we'll get into it.
Even though you hate the movie, is it still the third best Terminator movie?
Unfortunately, yes, it is. It is the third best Terminator movie. Like,
all right.
It is like.
Yeah.
The only nice thing I can say about it is it looks like they used a fair amount of practical effects.
So
that's about it.
Let me open by asking a question because I was confused. So, like,
hey, hang on, real quick. Sorry.
Go ahead. You're fine.
Don't roll your eyes, goddammit. Your video's still on. Since we have an extra person, and I think we probably got a lot to talk about, do you want to just go right to the movie, or do we really want to do the
I am fine dunking on this movie for 45 minutes to an hour. I have nothing but shitty things to say about this film. So I can talk about the Big Short next week. Like, that's fine. Like,
yeah, I've got things I can talk about if we want, but we don't have.
Nate hasn't been on the show in like 3 years. Yeah, all right. Like let's, 500
let's just,
movies
let's just go about. Through it. Let's just go through it real quick.
Okay.
But real fast before we get into that. So after this movie, it's Salvation, right? That's the next one,
which I think is like the prequel, right? Where you have Anton Yelchin as Reese and Batman's John Connor, right?
Well, is it a prequel? Because, like, I don't know where the canon changes.
The timeline is very confusing.
It's so got to be a prequel because he's the adult that sends him back so he can get his mom fucked and make him.
So, okay.
Yeah,
so
but it also takes place linearly after the other movies. So does that mean it's still technically a prequel?
It's the setup events for the first movie. So I'm saying narratively it's a prequel, but timely it is not.
So hold on though.
Time is a flat circle. Like
that is correct.
Time is a flat.
So you get Salvation. Then is it Genesis? And Genesis is like a soft reboot. And then
that's with the Lady Terminator.
And then
this one.
No,
but there's like a Lady Good Terminator one, right? Oh, I'm talking about Dark Fate. Okay.
Genesis is the one that's like with. Daenerys Targaryen is Sarah Connor.
Which is the one with Avatar in it?
Have said.
That's Salvation.
Okay.
And then you get Dark Fate, which brings Sarah Connor back, but she's dead in this one. So it's like, it's very confusing. Like, I don't understand.
That's the nice thing about Terminator movies. They can just keep retconning it because it's all about time travel.
Right.
Like, in the Dark Fate movie, they go back in time again and kill John Connor, so Sarah Connor becomes like the protector.
So Sarah beats leukemia out of just spite? Like, how does that work? Like,
I mean, she might not have got it at that point because she wasn't hanging out with Terminators all the time, giving her Terminator radiation.
Shit.
And then that doesn't even get into the TV show. I don't know where the TV show falls in. What about the video game
where he fights RoboCop? Where does that land in the timeline?
Dude, that video game was sick. Also, there was a really good Terminator video game that was made by, I forget the name of the company, but forget what that game's called, but that game's pretty sick too.
Shout out to the T2 arcade game. That game fucking slapped.
Oh shit, I forgot Salvation was directed by McG.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Yeah.
Sir McG.
Yeah. Didn't we watch that?
We watched that and Genesis, I believe.
Again, yeah. I feel like this point of order has come up multiple times. We never officially watched it. We watched it unofficially. You and TJ watched it. And then the next day, for reasons I can't begin to comprehend, you and I watched it. So you watched it twice in 2 days.
I back-to-backed it.
Which one is the one where John Connor is secretly an evil Terminator?
That's Genesis.
That's Genesis. Okay.
He's made of sand this time.
Right. Because it doesn't matter what you're made of. That's what we're proving.
Right. Yeah.
These secondary Terminators, they're like design just keeps getting worse and worse.
Yeah. Well, it's so bad. It's so bad, and it's just like I don't understand Okay, let's talk about the movies we watched so I can then just get all this vitriol out of me, because that's going to give me a
wound up ulcer. Gogs.
I
like that the Terminator movies get him so wound up.
Well, Gogs really loves the Terminator movies. Yeah. So,
one of them.
Yeah.
Gogs has his own category of favorite movies where there are movies that are also Dark Horse comic book properties.
Yeah, that's true. If Dark Horse makes it into a comic book, then like it's getting extra points here. Like shout out Judge Dredd, shout out Aliens, shout out Predator.
All right. Well, what did y'all watch this week? We'll start with Nasty Nate Regolia. Go ahead, buddy.
I've got six things. I've got six things that I've watched since
In the last three years, you've only watched six movies.
Well, since I talked to y'all about Superman and Thunderbolts a little bit.
He is the intellectual of he doesn't watch movies.
How many books have you read, Nate?
I honestly haven't read any books. All my reading has to happen at work.
Also, he was on like a month ago. Lack of ball knowledge on the pod. But yeah, he was on pretty recently.
He was on an episode where it's just me, him, and Sean. So that's
how we talked about Breakfast of Champions, which I hadn't seen at all. But
I missed that one.
You didn't miss that movie.
You didn't miss anything. Sean talked about how we saw, he and I watched Bring Her Back and Ballerina and stuff. And you guys have already talked about Superman. I watched a 2000 documentary titled The Gleaners and I. It's Agnes Varda. It's really interesting because it's a documentary about like the people who used to pick up the leftover crops after the harvest happened. Like there's old paintings, old French and Dutch paintings of this going on in Europe. And just kind of exploring how that changes in modern life where, you know, dumpster diving is effectively the gleaning of this era and how our maybe opinions about that shift. But the documentary is cool because it doesn't like have a full on perspective or thesis. It just humanizes a bunch of people who normally would be like pitted against each other to make a point in a documentary. So yeah, that was a fun one. I recommend it.
Do they at any point in the documentary glean the cube?
The thing that's fun about the movie is like it doesn't tell you what it is really at all. Like you kind of have to glean it yourself as the viewer. Like you pick up what you pick up from it. But if there was cube gleaning, it would have been better. I watched Fantastic Four.
I gleaned my cube last night. Go ahead.
You got to, otherwise you get a blockage.
That's right.
Good prostate cube health. Yeah, Fantastic Four. I liked it. I thought it was great. Fun. We've talked about this, but it's the whole thing that the movie's like about problem solving and not just punchy and all the flashy smashy. So that was kind of cool. I don't know that it's as good as Superman because it felt slow in comparison, but I think it's still very strong. I watched Moneyball, which I had not actually seen before, but great.
I love that movie.
Yeah, that there's really nothing good. More fun than just watching people make baseball deals on speakerphone. Like there's something just enjoyable about that.
It is funny though, like the movie and the book, because like that never really worked. Like the Athletics still, that movie should end with the Athletics winning a World Series, and they didn't. And yeah. That whole Moneyball philosophy, and I know Nate, Sean, and I have all talked about this analog, and Alec as well. We're all big baseball fans. But Moneyball kind of ruined baseball, like in a lot of ways. Like I feel like a lot of GMs just took the wrong lessons from that.
Weirdly enough, it started to matriculate into the NBA now, where like that philosophy of having like maybe one high price player and a bunch of like component players is starting to be kind of the zeitgeist after the super team era.
Yeah. The thing that bugs me is it's basically private equity thinking. It's like, how do we squeeze the most value out of the lowest bought asset? And it works sometimes, right? Because at the end of the movie, it's like, and the Boston Red Sox, who Billy Bean did not work with, ended up winning the World Series by doing Moneyball.
Were the Royals the only Moneyball World? I always forget they won that one World Series, that one where they beat the Orioles.
That
but like,
fucking goddamn team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that the only Moneyball champion?
That was fast team, right? Or whatever.
I mean, what about I don't remember their rosters. What are those Marlins teams?
I mean,
those were all big.
That was like pre Moneyball too, but yeah, they were like the Marlins were like a weird team where they would be like all in and then they just sell everybody off. They would like win a World Series and then just completely dismantle the team.
Yeah, they did it twice. Good for them.
Yeah.
Two more
same
times.
Thing like the first the Arizona since they, and series they, was that way,
and they swept the Yankees today, which is hilarious.
Which proves nothing because they're not doing Moneyball either. They're not trying to strategize in Florida right now. They're just
shout out to colossal dickhead Josh Beckett.
For real.
So yeah, Moneyball was good. I watched a movie called Offside from 2006. It's about five Iranian women who are trying to attend a World Cup game by themselves.
I thought it was going to be about five offensive linemen that didn't know how to play football correctly.
They just can't get the snap count down. And then a white person helps them, I guess, is probably what that would be, because that's how we do movies. This was very interesting. It's an Iranian movie. It's very lighthearted, but it's also kind of about how, hey, look at all these people who are people who let each other break the rules and Iran's not fully evil, whatever. Quality movie.
Sounds cute. Like commie propaganda to me.
Yeah, I'm sure. It'll be banned by the time this episode airs, so we're fine.
Commie propaganda or comedy propaganda?
Commie propaganda.
It's also a comedy.
It's comedy propaganda. The Police Academy movies are comedy propaganda. They're pro cop films.
Yeah, because look at how accessible these cops are. Don't worry, they're not scary. This guy does impressions. He's great.
I want to be part of the police so I can go.
I watched American Symphony, which is a documentary on Netflix about the guy, John Batiste, who I guess he won a Grammy like 2 years ago for best album.
Piano player that kind of comes across like he's autistic, but I don't think actually is.
He might be, though. He like they don't say it, but because the movie like follows him becoming like Colbert's band leader, leaving that, winning the Grammy, all the other stuff. But like all of his interactions with his wife, because his wife is battling leukemia throughout the movie. All of his interactions with his wife do vibe kind of on the spectrum. Like he seems unable to access normal sort of like consoling emotions and things. It's sort of him kind of seeming stiff and weird unless he's performing.
He has this weird grin that I can't place. It's like not how people normally smile, like, but it's not like a stage smile. I don't know how to classify it, but it's like,
no, it's almost the smile from the movie Smile and Smile 2. Where it's like, I don't know if this is a good thing. It's like too big. And then I watched Talk to Me. I watched Talk to Me last night, first time. Watched that on the Plex. That was fantastic.
Did you like that more than Bring Her Back? Or that I feel like Bring Her Back is better, but Talk to Me is still very good.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think they're talking about different things.
Sure.
But you know, as far as motifs of boys beating the shit out of themselves on countertops, they're neck and neck.
Yeah, that is true. Like, yeah.
These writer directors love to put like soft child boy people through a lot of pain as part of their ghostly stuff. I don't know what that's about.
The actress that was in Bring Her Back, the one that was like the weird like foster mother. Mm-hmm. She's in the next Osgood Perkins movie that's called Keeper. And I saw that trailer over the weekend and that looks really good. And it's a great trailer. I highly recommend everybody check it out because the trailer, like, I have no idea what the movie's about, but it looks fucking wild. It's about this couple that are like together and like, I don't know, from the trailer, like both of them seem fucked up, but neither one knows the other one's fucked up. And I don't know what the hell the movie's about, but the trailer was like, yeah, I'm in. Like, I hated the monkey, but like, I like Osgood Perkins in general, so I'll definitely watch it. And her performance in Bring Her Back was fantastic. So
she's great in Paddington and Paddington 2 also.
And Shape of Water. She's
in Shape of Water.
She's the mermaid fucker in Shape of Water.
Sally Hawkins.
Love that movie.
Yeah. So that's all I watched.
Merman.
I'm gonna throw it to Gogs.
Yudoki. I watched two and change. I finished Jaws 2, The Revenge. That movie's weird. Movie's real weird. Like it's a fish slasher movie. Like who saw that coming? I did not care for it, but now I own it. So bully for me. Don't watch Jaws 2. I did watch The Big Short, which is a movie I had never seen before.
I watched that a few months ago. That's an interesting movie.
I liked it. Like it's really like it's clever. It's a clever way to tell the story of like the greatest financial whoopsie daisy of our time. And
same writer who wrote Moneyball, right? The books. Big Short same guy that did Moneyball.
It was like, I was impressed with like Adam McKay directing it because it was funny, but it was also like dramatic and told a good story. And like everyone's good in it. Like Steve Carell's great in it. Christian Bale's great in it.
Baby Goose.
Baby Goose is fucking wonderful in that movie. Like,
but wasn't it like less of an oopsie and more of a, we know this is not going to work and we're all monsters, but by the time anybody else figures it out, we're going to be so rich it won't matter.
No, I don't think so. I think it was genuinely the way what I took away from the story is it was hubris and just like misunderstanding the market, and everyone was making so much money that they were asleep at the wheel. I don't think it was necessarily, there was some like malicious or just underhanded stuff as far as like giving people loans that shouldn't have had them, but they thought that the underlying foundation, like the safety net, was so rock solid that it would never come and bite them in the ass, and that is where that was the flaw in their calculus. But I really liked it. Like I said, Baby Goose was great, and fucking Brad Pitt's great in it. Like it's a solid film. And then I signed up for another streaming service that I will probably cancel. But
what's this one called?
Screambox.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've
heard it's of like. Screambox. It's like a worse Shudder though. Like it's, the stuff they like have on there is like lesser.
It's like a lesser Shudder. Yeah.
But I watched Hatchet 3, and then I realized I don't think I've ever seen Hatchet 1 or 2.
Hatchet 1's pretty good. I've Hatchet 1 came out a long time ago because I feel like I rented Hatchet 1 from like Blockbuster, but I remember liking Hatchet 1. I didn't know they made two more.
Like so, this one like. Whatever the Hatchet Man monster creature is, like at some point they try and kill him with a full on like bazooka. Like it's like, it is like a silly, gory, like it's like way over the top and it doesn't make any sense and it's not good. I cannot, I can't recommend it, but at the same time, it's kind of like, it's like fun in spite of itself. So like, you know, take that as you will. But yeah, that's if you got Screenbox, check out Hatchet 3, I guess, if you've got a spare hour and a half and you don't have literally nothing else to watch.
Are there any Screenbox originals on there?
I haven't found one yet, but I wouldn't be surprised. There's gotta be one lurking around there.
Fucking yeah. Zumo has original programming. Like Screenbox must.
Yeah. There was a couple of things I half started, and the production values were so low. Like right. I was like, I can't with this.
Like Shark Exorcist level production.
Like very stiff dialogue. Like very just like it was like shot in a basement. I was like, oh no, we're not doing this to ourselves. So I might give it another week, and then I'll let my subscription run out.
Because how much was the subscription to Screenbox?
I think it's like $5 a month. Yeah, or something $5. Like that's cheap. It's like cheap. If you're cheaper than a Happy Meal, it's kind of hard for me to like cut it off.
I keep getting ads on TikTok for what's the name of that? Asylum. Like they have their own streaming service now. So like the ones that made all the knockoff movies where it was like Megaformers versus
Transmorphers.
Yeah. Like they have their own streaming
Atlantic
service.
Rim.
Right. Yeah. They have their own streaming service now. So you can whatever it is too much money, but you can stream all their terrible ass movies. I don't know why you would ever be compelled to do such a thing.
It's a bold move because if they're trading off of older people not understanding what movie they're buying or renting by mistake for their grandkids, like they're going to sign up for a whole service by mistake.
No, I bet you the target audience is for people who have podcasts and just want to do a fucking bit and review all of them.
Well, me and TJ found after the episode was done, we found an entire. I propose that we use this as the basis of next year's podcast if we're still doing this. It was an entire YouTube channel that is full of like Asylum quality movies, but like for free.
Yeah,
like they are. It is like wall to wall thousands of them. They're
and
all
they all have. And they're all like movies from like what movie, guys, you found like Nemesis 3 on there or something.
Yeah. I found all the Nemesis were on there.
I want to say that's like at least one of the Nemesis was a canon movie, but like all of the like screen, the screenshots for the cover art for all of them are all AI art. It's fucking weird. And a lot of times the movie title wasn't even in the description. It was just describing what the movie was. It was really fucking weird. And they had like four separate channels. They had action, they had romance, they had horror, they had something else. Like, and it was like each page had like thousands of movies. It was like so weird. I'm like, how does this exist?
The YouTube channel is called Film Is Now Movies. It has 1.79 million subscribers, and you can watch things such as Michael Madsen's Kidnapped in Romania or Van Damme and Schneider's Van Damme's movie Knock Off, or you can watch the Trayvon hoax. Hercules and the Captive Women. Like I'm pushing very hard for this to be what we base next year's.
I don't know, man. If I have to watch like a ton of those movies in a row, I think I want to fucking end myself.
When AI controls the storm, nowhere is safe. Mega Twister. From desert heat to deadly freeze, age of ice. Like, it is. So that's my pitch for next year. But that's everything I watch, Sean.
Nothing. Alec.
Nice.
One thing.
Hey-o.
One thing.
Happy Gilmore 2.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, it was not good.
Not good at all. You know how I'm sure you guys are familiar with the meme of like coworker music, and it's like the worst thing you've ever heard. Like, I think Happy Gilmore 2 is like the coworker movie because I had so many people at work that literally obviously never talked to me about movies and know what I watch. They're like, you got to watch Happy Gilmore 2. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going
to. Like, I'm good, fam.
It is so bad. It doesn't start off terrible. And after a little bit, I was like, you know, maybe they got something here. I laughed a few times enough that I was like, not mad that I was watching it. But by the end, I was real mad.
What's his name's in it? MJF's in it, right?
Yep. He plays one of his sons.
They didn't Romulus Carl Weathers into the movie, did they?
No, I wish. That would have made it better. Man, it's bad.
That would have been amazing.
Like,
is the guy that played what was the guy? God, I don't remember. Happy yet. The guy that played like Tabby Tibbins in Requiem for a Dream.
Gavin?
Yeah, is he in the movie?
Yeah, he's in it.
Because that guy's still alive, I think.
Yeah, he's been on Hacks for a while.
If you can think of a character or scenario from the first movie, it's in this movie.
Is Rob Schneider in the movie? Or
yeah.
Oh, no.
Is Drew Carey in the movie as the current host of The Price is Right?
No, he is not.
Oh, this
but they show
that.
But they show Bob Barker's grave.
But
okay, great.
Yep.
Do they piss on it?
No. They just show it.
Adam Sandler's like, who's laughing now, Bob? Yeah. I'm shimmy, you're shimmy dead.
The only part of the movie that is worth a damn is the bad guy is played by Betty Safdie, and he's not bad at all.
I love him. Oh. He's great.
But man, this movie is just a huge hot pile of trash.
It's so just weird.
An excuse for him to make a movie and get all his friends a little bit of money and get his wife is in it, his daughters are in it, and they're all awful.
That's like, called the Kevin Smith maneuver.
Well, it's been the Adam Sandler one, because remember we watched Grown Ups 2 or whatever, and we're just like, it's just how he got paid to like take his friends on vacation.
Well, I meant specifically been open his about wife that. And kids.
Oh, sure. It's weird that the Safdies, because of Uncut Gems now, are part of like the Adam Sandler verse. You know what I mean? Like that's probably...
Oh, yeah.
It's real bad. Like every character in the movie, even like the most minor bit roles, are either a celebrity you recognize or some sports figure that you may or may not recognize.
Oh.
Like
sounds
it's
dreadful.
It's
so bad.
So bad.
Also, I know Eminem's
Travis
in it.
Travis Kelce plays a waiter.
Oh.
And then Bad Bunny plays his caddy.
Travis Kelce is in it also? Or yes. No, who did Sean just say? Eminem is in it?
Yep.
Oh, God. What is Eminem?
I'm asking for this movie.
Eminem plays the son of the guy who kept yelling jackass in the first one.
That pivotal character.
He died. So Eminem.
Did you say a legacy character?
Yeah. Boba, whatever his name is, plays the son of the huge monster man who gets the nail on his head.
I'll see you in the parking lot.
Alec, what was the movie with Bill Hader where LeBron James is in it? He's in it like a lot. Like he's not good in the movie.
Trainwreck.
The Trainwreck. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
That movie's not bad. John Cena's funny
in it. John Cena's in that movie, yeah.
Yeah, LeBron James is funny in it. Like the scene where they're at lunch.
Amy Schumer's the worst part of that movie, but the rest of it's pretty good.
Also, Earth.
She's the worst part of being on Earth.
Earth is the worst part of that movie.
I haven't heard about Amy Schumer in a minute, so I was kind of hopeful that
No, she's more Moss. She's very Moss now.
Oh.
She has like a Netflix show or Hulu or something, I think. I don't know. There's too many shows, many things.
That's the only
thing I watch. I'm like halfway through a Community rewatch, and that show is the tit.
Mm-hmm. I never really watched that show. I should probably check it out.
I think you would absolutely love it.
I mean, I love all the clips that I've ever seen, and I like Donald Glover a lot, so.
Yeah, it's all
Allison Brie's in it.
90% of it is.
I do love Allison Brie.
90% of it is meta movie jokes. You would be in heaven.
I need to watch
the episodes. Are like homages to movies that like I don't even recognize.
What's it? Is it on Hulu?
It is on Peacock.
Peacock. Okay.
Alex, I don't know if you remember. Is this the show where they live above the porn shop called Dildopolis? Like it's like a Greek porno store.
Yeah, the one girl does. Yep.
All right. Anything else, Mr. Alex?
No. Is that everybody? TJ.
Me. I watched one thing. I watched the new Dave Franco Allison Brie film, Together.
Together.
God, you get that reference?
Remember I do.
Snake guy. Every time I said the title, that's all I could think of. I wish it was as entertaining as Elden Ring, because it sucks. It's real fucking bad. I think that Dave Franco might be the worst actor to ever live. I can only describe his acting in this film as a term that Sean and I love to use all the time. He has X-Pac heat. Like, I just want him off the screen. I don't care when he's on the screen. Everything he says, I find annoying. This movie is about this toxic couple, and they're both terrible. So I don't understand how I'm supposed to, like, be invested in whether or not they'll fix their relationship or dissolve their relationship, because I just don't care. I just want them both to go away. Dave Franco plays this, like, washed-up musician, or possibly never was musician, and Alison Brie plays a teacher. Somehow they're able to live in this luxury apartment in, like, the town, and then they relocate to this like, countryside villa, and again, in a whole new house. How she affords this on a teacher's salary while Dave Franco is a, they say it over and over again in the movie, he is a 35-year-old man that doesn't have a driver's license, doesn't work. I don't, that part of, I know that is, like, not really part of the movie, but the whole time I'm like, that's fucking stupid. Like, I don't understand. Like, at least say something to the effect of, have some drop line of, like, well, Dave Franco was in, like, fucking Oasis for 10 years or something and made his money, and now he sucks. Like, I don't know. Anyway, they go to this town, and there's this, like, fucking cursed spring, like fucking Ranma, where, like, if you fall in the water, you, like, get, like, whoever you fall in the water with, you, like, literally, like, fuse to, and that's the whole movie, and it's real dumb.
That's the joke.
And it also, like, I really hate when movies have, like, dumb premises, and they don't, like, I feel like if I was to pitch this movie to you guys, it'd be like, okay, they fall in this water, and then they, like, join together. You're like, well, that sounds fucking stupid. So what you gotta do is, you have to, like, make that shit more mysterious and weird. You know what I mean? Don't explain everything. And then the whole movie, like, explains that it's this cult and this and that. And I just don't give a shit. And, like, the body horror stuff is interesting, but it's also, like, peppered in with a lot of comedy. And the comedy doesn't work. Like, there's a part in the movie where, like, Dave Franco, like, they don't have sex in their relationship. It's another point that they bring up, like, several times, that Dave Franco hasn't fucked Alison Brie in, like, months for no reason. Like, they just don't like each other or whatever. And then, like, at one point, because of the water, like, Dave Franco is, like, he's got, like, literal magnetism to Alison Brie. And at one point they fuck, and after they fuck, like, he can't get his dick out of her, and they literally pan down to his dick, and it's stuck in her vagina, and it's a comedy beat. And it's like, what, why is this comedy beat in this, like, body horror movie? I just hated this movie. The dialogue is, like, so poorly written. At one point, Alison Brie is like, you know, he's not a bad guy. Like, when we were on our first date, like, he asked what my favorite record was, and this is before I knew he was all, like, pretentious and musical and all this crap. So I told him it was Spice World. And, like, he's like, and then later that night, or on our second date, he brought me Spice on vinyl. Everyone in the world knows that album's not called Spice. It's a self-titled. It's called Spice Girls. Like, Jesus Christ, Google it before you write that into your goddamn script. Like, it's just little things like that. It's just, like, everything feels, like, really stilted and off, and not in, like, a fun, artsy way where it's just, like, you feel uneasy when they talk. Like, I just hated this fucking movie, like, a lot. Like, this is one of those movies where, like, as it was going, I was like, is this over yet? Like, I was doing the fucking, like, you got a 316, Homer, and I'm, like, looking at my watch the whole time. I'm like, I need this movie to be over with. Like, I hated this movie, and I was really disappointed because I thought the trailer was really weird and interesting. And I was,
the trailer, like, seemed provocative, but didn't, like, wasn't there a lot of, like, controversy around this? Like they stole the screenplay or something?
Yes, there was. I mean, it's like minor, like, TikTok controversy. Apparently, there's some indie movie that was never released, or, like, released only to, like, film festival circuits, that had to do with the same idea where, like, this couple was, like, in a toxic relationship and they, like, came together. But I don't think the, like, water was a part of it. I don't think all that other crap. But the thing that I never understood about that whole controversy is, the original filmmaker of the film that they say they plagiarized said that they took the idea to Alison Brie and Dave Franco to, like, remake it. But they're just in the movie. They didn't write the movie. They didn't direct the movie. So, like, doesn't that all kind of fall apart right there? Also, like, it doesn't matter. I never saw the original because you literally can't see the original. But, like, even if it is plagiarized, they should have plagiarized a better movie because this movie is trash. Like, it's just so bad. Like, I've seen at least one movie with Alison Brie and Dave Franco. And it was, I want to say it's a movie that Dave Franco directed. It was a few years ago. It's called The Rental. And I had the same problems with that movie. It was fucking terrible. Dave Franco and Alison Brie, like, they're a real life couple. They're married and they have no chemistry together at all. Like, they, and the movie goes out of the way to say that, like, they shouldn't be together. And I really don't understand. Like, I don't understand, like, how you wrote this script and you're like, yeah, this is good. Cause, like, there's nothing, I don't understand as the viewer what you're supposed to be, like, rooting for. Cause, like, Alison Brie is delusional. And, like the movie opens with her literally proposing to Dave Franco. And Dave Franco's like, yeah, I don't know. And it's like, what is this fucking movie? Like, I don't know. It was really bad. I hated it. I do not recommend it. It will probably
hated end it. Up in,
it will probably end up in my worst of 2025s. It was awful. Dave Franco needs to, like, think about his choices in life and maybe take up, like, I don't know, being like an investment realtor or something. Do something outside of acting, because acting is not for you. He's unbelievably bad in this movie. Like, everything he says just sounds like there's, like, cue cards on the other side of the camera during the whole movie. Like, there's no, like, genuine emotion in anything that happens. Also, like, obviously it's a body horror movie, so, like, there's weird shit that's happening that's, like, beyond the scope of reality. But, like, at certain points they're literally, like, contorting when they're, like, literally coming together, like, in magnetism, but they're, like, contorting in ways that would, like, break your spine. And it's like, well, like, what are the rules here? Like, I don't understand. Like at one point, like, Alison Brie is doing, like, the fucking exorcist walk backwards on her hands, and they're, like, trying to hold themselves away from each other, and her spine literally, like, twists completely around. And it's like, okay, well, why isn't she dead now? Like, I don't know. It was very bad. I don't recommend it. That's all I watched.
Is it, well, maybe it was a metaphor, so we'll just
leave it. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, that's the thing I was thinking about the whole time. Help somebody on fucking TikTok's gonna be like, you just didn't get it. And it's like, no, I got it. I got it.
You want to talk about this movie that also has malfunctioning magnetism?
Oh my god. All right.
Dude, this movie this you want to talk about a movie where it's like, what are the rules? This movie is
I can,
before you get into your synopsis, I feel like I feel like someone has brought up the chase scene in this movie. I think it was Sean. Like, the chase scene with the boom truck.
Yeah.
That seems like legitimately pretty good. And it's like the rest of the movie. No,
that's the best part. Like, the practical effects on that is, like, the best thing in this movie. Doesn't make any sense.
Can we talk about how I Wikipedia'd this movie and they referred to Christina Lokinen's character as a gynoid, a G-Y-N-O-I-D, which I had to click the hyperlink for.
What does that mean?
It just means, like, a fembot, but it sounds like those, like red pill weirdos. Like, it's like, oh, this movie's gynocentric.
Let me adjust my fedora.
Gynoid.
I think it's gynoid. I don't think you go to the gynecologist, you dumb fuck.
I mean...
this movie went woke before it was in fashion, so that's why it's bad, because, you know.
Also, Gogs, can I ask you a question?
Fire away.
Is the Terminatrix, like, stupid? Is she dumber than the rest of the Terminators?
All right, so here's the deal. Right. I don't think she's dumber. But she is, like, I think the hierarchy, I think the robots got stupid. Like, all right.
Everything in this movie got hit with a stupid ray, though. So, I think that's the thing.
Real quick. So, like, in the future, right, the robots want to kill all the people. Why don't they just poison everybody? Like, a fucking Flight of the Conchords.
Why don't they just let it happen? Okay, so.
We brought this up again. I'm sorry. I know Gogs is about to explode.
But I think we brought this up during Salvation. They nuke the planet once. They kill almost everybody. It's like, why don't you just do it again? Because it worked pretty well the first time.
So, like, okay.
Diminishing returns.
Okay, why do the Terminators, when they're a full skeleton, have, like, metal teeth, but when they're in the people, they have regular people teeth? Why don't they have metal teeth?
Paint. They paint over them. Veneer. They give them veneers.
They all look like Tom Cruise.
I want to meet the Terminator dentist.
Have you been flossing?
Also, they don't do the cool, like, they don't put the fucking da-da-da-da-da in this movie. Why don't they do that? The cool Terminator theme everybody
let,
likes.
Let Gogs go. I think he's going to meep.
So everything about this movie sucks.
Oh, I wish this was a video podcast just to see Gogs's, so you could all see Gogs's face. I might have to, like, I might have to clip it for the TikTok. I could.
So.
Don't worry. I'll take your name out of the frame.
That's so fine. So.
Hey, real you. Quick.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
All right. So I will, I guess I will briefly. So this whole movie takes place in 8 or 12 hours. Like, it happens, the whole movie takes place on Judgment Day, right? And
which is inevitable.
Like, which is inevitable.
It is inevitable.
Which is for some reason. Okay, so.
Just like Thanos.
So you've got John Connor is just dicking around on a motorcycle. He eats shit, and then he goes to a fucking dog hospital to go get Vicodin, and it happens to be the same dog hospital that his 8th grade makeout session partner fucking worked at, and her dad is also in charge of, like, the internet or something. And, like, meanwhile, I guess the Terminators are like, all right, so I can't even talk about the fucking, okay, so John Connor's dead in this timeline. The Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger, kills John Connor. Mission accomplished. Like, we
because
did it.
Because of the daddy issues revealed in Terminator 2, which proves
get George Bush on a fucking aircraft carrier. We fucking did it, right? So then my so-called life, fucking, I guess she reprograms the Terminator and sends his ass back in time, but she only sends his ass back in time to protect John because they couldn't leave well enough alone. The Terminators also sent Christina Loken back in time because they couldn't kill John Connor, but they just killed John Connor, and they wanted to kill all of his, like, would-be lieutenants who work at a taco shack and are having, like teenage fuck parties at their house. And they're like, okay, well, we'll just knock out his supporting cast for some reason. She steals a Glock off a cop. She has a plasma cannon for a right arm.
At one point in the movie, she seems to forget that she has that feature because she just, like, uses the flamethrower for dramatic effect.
It gets damaged. There is a plot specific reason why that happens.
Yeah, but how did it get repaired?
It does. I don't know. Here's the thing, right?
The thing I don't understand is that she is supposed to be like the next evolution. One of the things. She's supposed to be like the next evolution from the T-1000, right? So I assume that she can do everything the T-1000 can do. So why isn't she, like, turning her hands into blades?
She turns her hand into buzzsaws. So she is like a T-800 or T-101. Like, wrapped in a T-1000 goop. Like, she's the best of both worlds, but it's, like, actually worse somehow. Like, she has this plasma cannon arm that she steals clothes. She doesn't need to steal clothes. She has a plasma cannon arm she doesn't need to use. She can make a fucking, what's the movie where where everything comes to life with the goblin truck? She can, like, make all
Maximum overdrive. Yeah, she's able to communicate with cars that have no computers in them at all. So that
she has a maximum overdrive power set. Okay, so there's all of these things, right, to hunt down John Connor, a man who is dead in her timeline.
I will point out the one good thing about this movie, possibly besides the chase scene, is that Nick Stahl, before he went crazy or whatever happened, kind of reminds me of Michael Bane a little bit. And I don't know if that's intentional.
Fine. Whatever. I was seething with rage. I have no idea if he was
also happy birthday to Michael Bean. It was his birthday this past week.
Big up. So. Shout out. No one's mad at Michael Bean. So, dude. So now Okay, so they send the, so he's like now hooked up. So like the Terminator, if the Terminators had done nothing, if they just stayed home, right?
Right.
Later that day, Earth would have been nuked and John Connor would be caught with his pants down, jacking off in an animal hospital, and that would have been it.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. But that's what happens. But so the Terminators come back and they set in motion, right? The events that lead him into like fucking Fort what have you in a mountain. So then he can like radio and then all like everyone who survived is like, I don't know, let's just call up this mountain and see who's in charge. And it's like, oh, what are you, a kid? How old are you?
I kind of thought that the C-800 knew that was the end game the whole time. To get him to the mountain to save him, because that's what's her name program. It's like,
maybe then why didn't he show up first? Christina Loken shows up first. I thought Christina Loken.
I mean, they might have showed up at the same time. They were in two different places. They can't show it concurrently.
All I know is the time travel aspect of this looks worse than it did in T2 and in the first one.
Do you remember, as a Terminator historian, like, do you remember that force field effect created like actual physical glass?
Yes, it melted. Okay. It melted everything around. Okay. That is accurate.
It melted reality.
Yeah, like
the polymimetic alloy.
It made a bubble of what have you.
You have to let's go through beat by beat what happened.
Fine,
in this movie.
Fine.
Nick Stahl. Also, real quick, this movie is brought to you by 8 production companies I've never heard of in my entire life.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
All right,
Carol Co.
I wish it was Carol Co. This movie also wildly successful. This was, I told Sean before we started recording, this was in the top 10 of highest grossing movies.
And it was well reviewed too.
Which is wild. It's so like
Schwarzenegger got $30 million in salary on the movie, then the whole budget was like $125 million.
Arnold looks pretty good in this movie.
56. Like, he looks phenomenal.
Yeah, he looks
in
good
in this movie.
Yeah. I feel bad because he's trying, but for nothing. Like,
is he? He's not trying.
Well, this is why I said what I said about like they took his worst take in every single scene because he's supposed to do a lot of like heavy emotional face lifting with his acting, and for whatever reason, like when he's sacrificing himself to reboot or whatever, he looks like he doesn't understand what the scene is about. And it's almost as if I would believe fully that no one understood.
We have to dig up the Arnold commentary for this movie because he's probably like, this is when I was sacrificing myself.
Well, he's also he's a T-800 and hasn't been upgraded, so he should have no emotions, but he is clearly emotional in the beginning of this movie and then not emotional later in the movie. And then it's like, I was telling TJ kind of offline, I was like, they're like, oh, we got to make a Terminator. Or what did I say? It was like, you ever see those Gogs? Have you seen those TikToks where it's like, I made a whole week of meals for my family at Dollar Tree?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's like this for Terminator movies. It's like, let's do Terminator 2, but just like real cheap.
The meal stuff Gogs watches on TikTok. It's like, I sous vide a whole meal for my family for $400 for a week.
I cooked some impossible cut of meat like in the most complicated way possible.
You're on Robert Baron talk.
Yeah,
impossible cuts of meat aside, the El Pastor tacos you made that one time are still the best tacos I've ever had in my life.
Means a lot.
And I've been to Mexico.
Shout out, Gog's doing his grandmother proud.
Yep. Shout to Abdenago Ramos.
I don't listen to hip hop.
It's okay. So, all right. John Connor motorbiking, doesn't know whatever, eat shit, whatever, hospital break in. My so-called life decides like her dad, who's in charge of the internet, isn't going to get to meet her fiance, but now she goes to her vet hospital where they are willing to take cats in at 4:30 in the morning for coughing for some reason, but that's fine. The Terminatrix shows up in like a fashion mall and then like kills a lady in a Lexus and then still steals that Lexus and then steals a gun that she does not need. So then she can go murder. Go ahead.
Maybe her, I can't remember. It might be her only line in her voice of the movie. I think she says, "I like your scarf," which how does a Terminatrix know what a scarf is?
Well, that's the other thing, right? Like, I don't under the Terminatrix, like, she at the same time understands humanity, but also doesn't understand anything about humanity. Like, well, it's very.
It's the same thing with the T-800. It's like, I'm not programmed with human pair bonding. It's like, you fucking know how this works by now. This is like the eighth time they've done this with you. They would have figured it out.
But not with him specifically.
Another slight thing that I did like about the movie. I liked how he got his like leather outfit from like a leather daddy stripper. Also, I thought I did enjoy. You know, I always enjoy Arnold showing up nude from the future or whatever. And I love how he shows up to this like bachelorette party completely naked in the front door. And the guy's like, "Oh, you got to go back." Like, that was I legitimately laughed at that. Cause that was like, this guy is not.
He gets his Goodfellas tracking shot as he walks through and gets
nude man at all. And they're like, "Oh, you got to go around back." And then Sean shows up for a few minutes and he's like, "I'm on stage now, honey."
Like, that part, he gets his talk to the hand out of that. So Arnold. It's like, all right, no, it was fun in Terminator 2 when he went to the biker bar and threw that guy on a griddle. That was cool. Let's do that again. Except now it's a strip club for ladies. And he walks out in the stripper's clothes, which I guess he voluntarily gave up because that's his job. And then
he just would have waited a few more minutes. He could have just grabbed him with no violence.
Just a piece at a time. He may have just stood there quietly waiting. And then he walks out with his like sugar daddy glasses for a little comedic beat that made me audibly go fuck. And then he goes and steals a truck. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to go take this shotgun truck and go find John Connor. And by doing so, I'm going to show up at this animal hospital that somehow everyone knows where everyone is. Meanwhile, the Terminatrix is working her way through because she's got to find Catherine Brewster because she will ultimately be the second in command and John Connor's wife. And then the fucking Terminator shows up and they fight at the hospital. And then
he's also going to blamen her. And that is important for reasons that are not explained later on.
He's going to what her?
Blam in her. He's going to ejaculate into her.
At some point, yes. John Connor will.
Your children will be important. And that's it.
He turns into fucking the end of the end of Back to the Future. It's just the kids, Marty. We're worried about your kids. So now the Terminator finally catches up with them. They throw him in a vet truck. They fight the Terminatrix. We get the best sequence in the movie, which is the Terminatrix. She hijacks two cop cars and an ambulance, and that could have just done the job. But she's like, you know what? I'm gonna get a crane truck involved too. And we get this big car chase that just destroys several city blocks. It's actually seemed like it was all practical. There's some real knee slapper moments where Arnold is hooked on the end of the crane, just getting smashed through like an automobile showroom. And then he hooks the truck into a manhole and then she upends the thing and the thing's dope. And then they're like, all right, well, now we need to fuck up out of here because the judgment day is coming. It's like, oh, man, come on, dude. And they're like, all right, listen, Sarah Connor died of leukemia. She held on to make sure that August 28th, 1997 didn't happen. And then she's like, all right, cool. Judgment Day didn't happen. Take me now, Lord. And then she gets cremated in Mexico, but they fucking stashed in accordance with her final will and testament. They stash a small arsenal in a mausoleum, which then the Terminator goes to get.
I'm sure it's an homage to Franco Neri in the original Django Spaghetti Western.
Oh, okay. They dug up the casket and it's full of whatnot.
Yeah, it's like the Gatling gun.
Yeah. So now the Terminator's like, well, listen, we've got to, you know, get out of wherever because it's happening. And he's like, all right, well, Arnold, we can't do that. Apparently, I don't fucking know.
They're really like, taking your Red Guardian out for a walk.
Yeah.
This is like a bit of like deep lore for this podcast, but Gaz can do all these like intricate, like subtle impressions. But the one impression literally everybody on Earth can do, he just can't master.
So he goes, he's like, John Connor's like, well, no, we got to go save her dad and stop Skynet from launching because there's also as a parallel plot. Her dad is busy at a future fortress because the internet is being taken over by some hostile virus that I guess is also Skynet. In sort of a wag the dog, like make the problem so you unleash my terror sort of scenario.
Well, didn't the Terminatrix unleash the virus? Like, was one of the first things she did when she got there?
I thought the virus was already happening. Is that when she like screamed into the phone? Was that it?
Yeah, that's what I thought. She was uploading the virus.
Oh, I didn't catch that, but yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. Well, so then she. Even worse. So now, if that's the case, literally, that was her only job. She's had to go back in time, scream into the phone, make the virus happen,
bro. Side quests.
But like, she wouldn't have had. They would not have made. Okay. So anyway. So now, she's going back and fine. Let's say that she unleashed the virus. He's sitting there debating the whole time. Like, I don't know if Skynet's ready. I don't know who made Skynet. Cyberdyne Systems doesn't exist anymore. Miles Bennett Dyson is dead. But they've created some sort of AI that they're like, well, if we give Skynet the reins, then it'll take care of the super virus. And then Claire Danes is like, Nick Stahl's like, you know what? We got to go save her dad. And Terminator's like, I don't answer to you. And then Claire Danes like, we got to save my dad. He's like, I answer to you. And then he's like, well, because I killed you in the future, but then she reprogrammed me to send me back. Is that better? I don't know. So then they go to her dad's place of work. Christina Loken is already there. She's broken.
Real quick, Gogs. Yeah. I'm sorry. Speaking of like this, how stupid the Lady Terminator is in this movie. There's a scene where she like she takes over or like copies the fiance of Claire Danes and walks up into her into the cemetery, and then for reasons I cannot guess, I guess because the movie has to happen, she drops the facade before she gets to kill her when she could have literally just walked up to her and snapped her neck.
It's been done with it. No, there's so many dumb choices for like I guess plot reasons. They end up at this what I consume is only a super secure facility.
The three main characters in this movie have like impenetrable plot armor because like there's so many points where like will you just be dead or like they if they really wanted you dead they could have done it so many different ways
or they just let the nukes happen like they just let it happen. John Connor is dead in the future. We've done anyway. So like. The three of them, the Terminator, My So-Called Life, and that yellow bastard fucking walk into the front door of whatever this Air Force facility is unchecked.
Like NORAD.
Yeah, right. But it also, like, so then the Terminatrix is there, and then she inserts her goo into all these proto-Terminators. They go bananas. Like
Obama's wet dream.
Yeah, like, it was all Barrio just drone strike bonanza. Like we're like,
I really love Terminator 3.
Just see the way those drones almost killed Nick Stahl. That's what I want, but I just want it to happen in Iraq. So they fight their way through this situation, and then like, all right, we need to go to Camp Crystal Mountain or whatever. Follow the particle collider in the basement that makes like an insane magnetic field and would probably also just give you insta cancer. And like, I guess they don't have any metal fillings in their teeth because if it's like one big giant MRI, they should have been like donezo. It sucks the Terminatrix into it, but then she's able to buzzsaw her way out of it. And then they end up, she fights the Terminator, snaps his head off, and then she infects him with whatever. Then they go to a hangar that is in, this is a federal, presumably an Air Force research base. And they go to the hangar, at which point Claire Danes goes, there's my brother's Cessna. I trained on that. Why is her brother's plane parked in this garage? It makes no sense. But that doesn't matter because now the Terminator's back and he's all jiggly jangly and he can't figure out. He's like, get away from me. I'm the Terminator. And then he has like some sort of emotional moment where he's in some sort of
Street Fighter 2 bonus stage.
Yeah, he goes through a Street Fighter 2 bonus moment to that's exactly what I thought about, to like reset because he's caught in a weird do loop that he can't handle. And then the two of them fly to a mountain where they think that Skynet's going to be, but Skynet's everywhere because Skynet's internet.
It is the most secure facility to function as like the hub of the government when society falls, and it has absolutely no security, no post, nothing.
No one's there at all.
Like, well, they show up and fucking crap. They come in and they're like, oh, there's a big ass door. We don't have R2-D2. I don't know how we're going to get in. And then Christina Loken, like, slam jams a fucking helicopter into it, and they're like, "Uh-oh, we're kind of boned." And then I guess somehow the Terminator grabbed like a Hind or like some other giant, some yet bigger helicopter, slams it into there, cuts her in half. So she is so useless. Like the T-1000 would have been a better Terminator in this scenario, well, because now there's only half of her.
The T-800 also says it's stronger and smarter and better in every way, but it's still the T-800 is able to physically restrain the T whatever this is and basically just rip it in half. No worries.
Yeah, and then like he's got like a nuclear bomb in his chest, and then they get like trash compacted under the super heavy door, and then it melts half the mountain. So presumably they're trapped in there forever. But somehow the communication infrastructure. Why? I guess it's just old radio technology that the Skynet.
Your favorite kind of radio, ham.
Ham, like they couldn't, like they do love the way she says ham. Like they, I guess the internet couldn't take over because now everyone's calling John Connor for advice, and that's where he's like, "All right, I guess I'll tell you how to lead the resistance with no formal training." And that's the movie.
Talking to are also going to be dead very shortly, right? Like I assume they're not all in nuclear bunkers calling him.
I don't know, man. This movie sucks, and this movie sucks so hard. It takes, like you say, it takes place in like 6 hours on a Friday. It is like Terminator. The original Terminator is a great movie because it leaves you on this ambiguous note of maybe we can survive, maybe we won't. They've tried once. Who knows if they'll try again, right? Like it's cool. And then Terminator 2 happens, and Terminator 2 is like, all right, well, we couldn't get Sarah, so let's get John. John's who we really want dead. Let's try and get... I guess we can't go back to the exact same setting. I guess that there's, like, maybe there's... It's, like, no take-backsies. Like, you can't, like...
At least in the first movie, they kind of hand-wave it, and they're like, we don't have records, so we just kind of, like, went back assuming kind of when it was. I don't remember right. What the explanation in Terminator 2 was specifically. And then here, they don't even address it. So she shows up to start Judgment Day, I guess it's like a closed loop, and to kill John, like day of,
I guess. And then like, and so in the second movie, right? The second movie, they're like, all right, we didn't get Sarah before. Let's go get John. Okay, fine. That makes sense, I guess, as opposed to killing Sarah when she's a kid. But whatever. Like, let's do this. Oh, okay. And while we're doing it, okay, let's punch back and let's try and stop Judgment Day from ever happening. We'll go to where Cyberdyne Systems is. We're going to destroy the evidence from the first movie, which was the jumping off point that started Cyberdyne and made Miles Bennett Dyson that kind of money to have that dope house with the fun RC cars. And then we've stopped Judgment Day. And then you just find out, no, it's prolonged. You just delayed it. And then it's going to happen anyway. Like it completely wipes out the entire theme of the second movie, and then this whole third movie is just a shit show of nonsensical choices where it would have just made more sense to wait it out because they killed John Connor. Like, he's dead in the future. Like, we've done it. We did it, gang. Like, we figured it out. Like, it's not like the Terminator. It's not like Arnold's character was sent back by Claire Danes in this movie to circumvent Judgment Day from happening. That wasn't his job. His job was just to protect John Connor, which was going to happen anyway, maybe. But like, this movie sucks so much. And then it's
the worst kind of sequel because it's a sequel with nothing on its mind and like no story to tell. It's just, we're just making it just to make it. And adjusted for inflation for the year of our Lord, this movie made $850 million.
It is just a soulless cash grab.
Yeah. I mean, the thing everyone with this movie sucks in the movie. James Cameron didn't want to make it, right? Like, they approached him to say, do you want to make a third Terminator? We're printing money. And he was like, no, I think the story perfectly loops itself off after two. I don't want to do it anymore. He stepped away. One of the other producers was like, okay, cool, we'll make another Terminator movie. And that's what it feels like. It feels like, okay, Terminator 2 had a little bit of comedy in it, and it had some bonding in it. So we'll put that in this movie. Oh, and it also had some cool CGI. We'll put that in this movie. It also kind of had like weird stuff that was happening. We'll put that in. And it's just, it feels like it's like Mad Libbed or just, or it's like Buddy the Elf's dinner, you know?
Well, they're redoing basically the, you know, send him back to get her pregnant thing, kind of with John and whatever, I don't remember what the Kate, but it's like the relationship in Terminator 1 between Kyle Reese and Sarah Connor, while it might be a little bit forced, is like believable. Like they feel like actual people in like a horrible situation. Mm-hmm. This, it's like, yeah, you finger blasted me in fucking sixth grade, and then it's like, oh, there are robots now. Like, she is, because like, you remember in the first Terminator, it takes Sarah forever to get on board with what's going on. Like, she's skeptical the whole time. With Claire Danes, it's like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing now, which is something I've always hated.
She flipped from veterinarian to action star in like a second.
Like, she's like completely against it, and then she's just not. And it's like,
well, she gets all doe-eyed in the fucking RV, and she's like, I remember we made out one time. And then she's like,
well, we could just give up. Like, all right.
Also, to Nate's point, like, the thing about the comedy in this movie, like, it's like Arnold had a couple of like kind of funny lines in T2, but in this movie, man, every chance they get, like, he puts on the fucking disco glasses, and like, he's always got like a fucking quip, and it's like, come on, man, like, we don't need all this at all.
Like, it's soulless and awful, and it just doesn't make sense. And like, it's one of those movies where if they did nothing, it would still work out better for the robots. Like,
well, the introduction of the idea that the Judgment Day is inevitable, like, it's like, takes all the stakes out of the movie. Like, you can't be like, this will happen no matter what, and then expect me to care about what happens during the course of the film. You know what I mean?
Correct. Like,
I'm not so in love with John Connor. Go ahead. Sorry, Nate.
Oh, just, it does that by killing Linda Hamilton off screen.
Yeah.
Like, I know she didn't want to be in the movie, or they couldn't negotiate salary or something. There was something like that. But like, to do that hand wave and think like, oh, the rest of the movie will be fine, that's a terrible idea. Like
I feel like the people that made this movie, and I probably misunderstood a lot of it, but very like much like misunderstood the relationship the audience has with the character of John Connor. Like, I don't think nobody gives a shit about John. He's just like a figurehead. He's like a symbol of like human resistance. So
yeah,
to make it like central to the plot of another movie where it's like, oh, he survives, but everybody else dies. Like in Judgment, in T2, you're rooting for humanity to not be destroyed. Not so fucking John Connor can bang some lady in a mountain. Like, that's not why you're with the film. And I feel like this one like wildly misunderstands it.
There's also a very gross line that I felt was dropped in this movie, where like, when Claire Danes kills like that hunter droid, John Connor then looks up to the woman that he will eventually pork, and he says, oh, yeah, "You remind me of my mom." And I'm like,
"You're pretty like my mom."
Claire Danes picks the gun up and shoots the drone thing coming at them out of nowhere, and basically has her like, get away from you, you bitch thing.
Yeah, her character is like a schizophrenic. Like, her character does not like land in any one like set. Like, she just like, it's like, what's her motivation? I don't know.
Well, because nothing in this movie is about caring about the characters or about plot or about anything. It's like, well, how do we make this next scene happen? Oh, she hasn't had a line in a while. Like, that's what it feels entirely like a writer's room of people who just think, oh, the thing people like about Terminator is there's a lot of cool, crazy stuff that happens. So let's just keep making that. And it's like, no, the original Terminator is a plodding movie, right? It's slow. It's about like very slow. Dread. The second movie is a lighter take, and it has more horror-y sort of elements and stuff because of the T-1000, but this movie has neither. Also, because the villain's like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer character in just all red leather walking around.
Whoa.
I I have the utmost respect for Buffy the Vampire Slayer as a show, but that felt extraordinarily dated to me, where I was like, oh, okay, this is the era we're in. We're in the like leather jumpsuit.
Can I also for briefly talk about the fact that like Arnold shouldn't, like when Arnold and the Terminatrix fight, like it shouldn't even be a fight. Like the Terminatrix should just mop the floor with him completely. And it's like ridiculous that like at a point in this movie, he's just like throwing her through walls and shit. And I'm like, what is the purpose of this? Like
She has a rail gun for a hand. Like, this is like, what are we doing here? Like, she doesn't have to do any of the things she's doing. She could, like, nuke John Connor. She could literally just like go full G.I. Joe retaliation and just drop satellites on John Connor from wherever. The thing,
right? We're not led to believe that these things have any self-preservation outside of completing their mission. So if completing a mission means just nuking everybody, just immediately as soon as you get there, just set the fucking nukes off.
Right. But I'm trying to, because Alec raised a good point. Like when she's screaming into the phone, did she start the virus? Because that almost makes a little bit more sense. There she is did, literally
according to Wikipedia. According to IMDb and my favorite thing, the trivia at the bottom, although none of this is quoted from anywhere, so I don't know how true it is, but her primary goal was to start the Judgment Day, and then her secondary goal was to kill John Connor.
Okay, because I can't find anywhere where it's like, they're like just saying... I thought the virus had already happened before, was already in the middle of happening before she even shows up. Which, if she starts the virus to make Judgment Day happen, that at least makes a little more sense. It still sucks, but like, shouldn't she not exist?
Fax machine voice.
Yeah, like, also, shouldn't she not exist if Judgment Day didn't like happen?
Well, I don't want to get too far into the fucking weeds of like their plan, but it's like, if so, is the future? I'm trying to think. The John Connor future is predicated on a certain Judgment Day, but if she goes back and starts dicking around with it, like, does it change it? Like, do they really need to kill all the lieutenants? But I guess they're operating off of the Judgment Day that she already caused. Like, it's another closed loop thing.
They're operating on her Judgment Day timeline, which happened 10 years after the original Judgment Day should have happened, I guess.
Okay, so she knows that those people that she has to go kill will survive.
Yes, because she's got like she has files on them, and she used the LA County aggregated school board system to figure out where all of them are.
How the guy working at In-N-Out Burger and the Hardy kid are going to survive a nuclear blast that's happening that day.
You don't know, man.
I don't understand, because that's the other thing about this movie. They're like, when's the nukes gonna hit? And he's like, 6 o'clock today. Yeah, today.
It's like this whole movie took place in, like, let's say, I don't know, Albuquerque, New Mexico, somewhere that wouldn't be a primary target for nuclear weapons, not Los Angeles. Maybe that makes sense to survive.
Why doesn't the resistance just go back and kill Albert Einstein?
I don't know.
It's a good question.
Exactly.
Why don't the Terminators just go back in time to overshoot and just kill Sarah Connor's parents?
It's a problem. Well, they tried to kill her when she's a kid in, is it Genesis, the one with Jai Courtney and Daenerys Targaryen, because she's like 16 or something. But like, somebody brought this up in a review of like Star Trek First Contact, where they talk about the Borg go back to the point where they face the most resistance to take out humanity. Just go back to like the 1800s or whatever and just kill everybody.
Right. But I guess
that's true. Like, there's no limits to how far they can go back.
Like, I don't know if it's addressed in like Genesis or whatever, but like the machines never seem to have a goal again that includes like self-preservation, or they're building their own society or something. It seems like their entire goal is just to kill humanity at any cost for no matter what. So just go back and blow up the whole Earth in 18-dickety-2 and call it a fucking day. Like, we never... I guess that one with Helena Bonham Carter, you kind of see they have their weird like machine building. But again, it's only ever like in reference to killing humans. Like, you never see like what Skynet is doing or why it like wants to exist. Like, I you know what I'm saying? Like, I have no motivation for the computer.
Isn't there some dropped line in like, or in some of the movies, they're like, I grew up in the camps. Like, why would they even have camps?
Well, yeah, why would they? This is my question: is like, what is the war even like in the far future?
Right.
Because they have to deal with John Connor, because that's the only way that there are people fighting them. But like, you're just gonna win eventually. Like, there's attrition, and you're made of metal, and don't expire. Right. Like, I don't know.
And you don't have to breathe. You don't have to eat. Like, it seems like exterminating humans would be, again, it's the
flight of the planet and kill everybody.
It's
like
the Flight of the Conchords thing. We use poisonous gases and we poison their asses. Like,
on the scale of things, the humans are just ants. Like, you don't need to go through all this trouble. They can just break wave after wave across your fucking walls and nothing.
but happen. We're always told that John's going to lead the resistance and they're going to win, but we never see at any point a situation in which they seem like they're on the verge of victory. Every time we see them in the future, they are like on their last legs every time. Like, and their survival is not like a survival anybody would.
Wait. That was the point of the first movie, right? They had won. They had taken out Skynet's core, and this was the reason they sent the Terminator back, was a last ditch effort. Right. Because that doesn't re-say that. It's like we won. And this is a Hail Mary by Skynet to keep victory from happening.
I guess. Right. Yeah.
And so that all works if this is all hinging on a very specific sequence of individual events. But what this movie does is it undoes that by saying, like, well, all of this happens. It
doesn't matter anyway.
So then, there's no point for any of the movies to have existed, because if everything's just going to happen, it's just going to happen. So,
The reason the first movie works is because all they did was avoid getting John Connor or Sarah Connor killed. The second movie, they defended the attack and counterpunched to keep Judgment Day from happening, and yet it still happens. So the robot still
remember his arm gets like removed at some point, and like nobody ever breaks it. So I guess you can go for that, but they don't address that in this movie. It's third thing that causes Judgment Day.
In the second movie, right? They destroy the chip and they melt the arm. So there's the Terminator lowers himself into the liquid metal or into the molten metal. So there's no trace of him left. Like, there's, what are we basing any of this on? Like, they did a pretty decent job in the second movie of kind of tying up most of the loose ends.
Also, the second movie is like, you know, we've talked about it. The first movie is like a great movie. The second movie is like the high watermark for like popcorn action movies. It's a spectacle.
It
just kicks ass. Like, it is the rule of cool, like, to the nth degree. Like, that movie rules. It's not a great film. Like, it has some things on its mind, and like, you know, I like Linda Hamilton in it, but like, after that, like, you've already made the real movie and then you made the spectacle. There's like really nowhere to go, and they probably shouldn't, but like, said they're just printing money, so just keep doing it, I guess.
I had this conversation earlier today. Like, the only, after Terminator 2, like, the only other way you could juice anything out of this franchise would be to tell a proper version of what I would call a prequel of, like, John Connor in the future that led up to the original Terminator movie, which I think they tried to do with the Christian Bale movie, and that movie sucked.
That's so bad.
Yeah, that movie was worse than this.
Yes. Every movie after this got worse than the one that preceded it. Like,
I still think this is one of the few series where like it like descends from the top. Like, it starts at the apex and descends from.
You're
one
not
to
wrong.
The last.
You didn't. Terminator is the best one. Terminator
Jaws is the same thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
The Matrix is the same way.
I would say the most recent one is better than Genesis or Salvation.
I would agree with that.
I'd agree with that too.
Like, Dark Fate wasn't good, but it was better than those lumps.
It was better than this. Poop.
Yeah.
It was more watchable than this, for sure.
This movie sucks.
Yeah, you got to see an AC-130 crash.
Yeah.
This movie just looks so cheap the whole time.
I'm glad you brought that up, because like, this is after Terminator 2. Why do the effects look so much worse? Like, the
special effects look, I think, genuinely worse. I think it's like, you don't have Cameron at the helm, honestly.
Well, and it's the thing of like, oh, people like that, let's do more. And instead of doing good, right? It's the, you know, do you want it fast and cheap, or do you want it to take a while and be good? And they didn't care. They did as much as they could do, which means, yeah, you get these weird, shitty, like, punch somebody across the screen and they fly and they go like Harry Potter, ragdoll blur for 30 seconds straight. It's atrocious.
This movie sucks.
Anyway, where are we at in the plot? We're almost done.
We're done. The movie ended. It's 8 hours later. The nukes have fallen. Everyone is talking to this junkie about how they're going to save their lives. And then that's that. Like, it's awful. and it ruins. I stand 10 toes down that it ruins Terminator 2. Like, I won't let it ruin Terminator 1 for me, I guess. But it fucking takes all, it takes any plot, like any weight that Terminator 2's story carried, just throws it out the fucking window.
You know, and it just kind of goes, and I know she sent the thing back, but it's like, these computers are supposed to be like the most like rational, like super intelligent, you know, beings or whatever you want to call them. They keep doing the same shit or some variation of the same shit over and over. They could do anything. Like, again, poison everybody, nuke them. Like, they don't need to like go back and, you know, stop the war from happening. They don't care that they've lost 1,000 Terminators in the war or whatever. It is of no consequence to them. So just wait them out. Like, anything, you know, it's...
Now that we've started using AI for more shitty things like pictures and stuff, I want the next Terminator movie to be Skynet just sending back like pictures of a pregnant John Connor to like ruin his rep so nobody will listen back, to like, him.
You know, that's fucking a good, that's a better idea. Creatures. Yeah, like the Terminators just decide to launch a misinformation campaign.
John Connor and Sonic the Hedgehog pregnant together.
Yeah. Like all of a sudden John Connor is trans and he beat some lady in swimming in college and now no one wants to follow him. Like,
better movie if the Terminators just go back and AI all of our social media and that's how they get us. You know what I mean? They get us to all kill each other.
Yeah. That would be better. Anything would.
All right. Anything else before we get into Five Knuckle Shuffles? I feel like we have thoroughly dissected this film.
Yeah.
Alec, was your favorite part of this movie how much it made sense?
I mean, I do like a logical movie.
You could have just went with the science. That's your thing.
Yeah, I guess
there was a lot of science in this movie. My favorite kind of science, too, internet science, where they're like, okay, do we hit enter now? And he's like, wait, I did this. I'll hit enter now.
You got to type www first. No, you don't.
What do you think I am? Some kind of supervillain? I hit enter 20 minutes ago.
I love the fact that this is like this omni, like ultra intelligent AI, but it has to wait until somebody hits enter to fully integrate in
this. It's just sitting behind the floodgates of the NORAD enter button.
Not for nothing, it would have made more sense if the Terminatrix walked into the building and then hit enter. Like,
that would have made more sense.
Yeah.
Especially if she just got in the phone. No problem.
She got in the building without batting an eye. Everyone got into that building. It's the least secure facility I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Even if they would let the daughter in because they recognize her, she has like photo ID. She's like, yeah, I got this drifter and this mountain of a man dressed in black leather with me, too.
Also, he's missing part of his face.
I'm here to pick up my brother's plane, which is inexplicably parked in your garage.
Yeah. And I got to say, like, it's the silliest thing to fly that plane. You're like, time is of the essence. You're being hotly pursued and you are flying the slowest possible air conveyance available.
Terminatrix caught up to you in like a minute. Right?
The Terminatrix should have been waiting outside with a pool skimmer trying to knock him out of the sky. Like,
well, yeah, just blast with that plasma cannon. Like, terrible.
Well, honestly, she could have just blown the whole fucking facility up because it had nothing to do with what they were doing anyway.
Not matter. Everything about this movie was inconsequential. That's my point. Like, it's just. Yeah. Doing nothing would have bettered the Terminator's fucking game. Like,
but isn't that what people say about Raiders of the Lost Ark too? Like, Indiana Jones was inconsequential to anything in that movie. If he's not in the movie, same ending happens. The Nazis all die because they open the Ark of the Covenant.
A fair point.
No, if he's not in the movie, they don't find the Ark of the Covenant. So actually, it's probably worse that he's in the movie.
Probably worse that he's involved.
Like, he's the one that figures out you got to use, like you got to read both. So you got to take off three kadams to honor the Hebrew God or whatever. Like, they're digging in the wrong place.
He played the Atari game.
Yeah. Well, it was the hubris of Henry Jones Jr., which brought about the melting of the Third Reich.
You're burnt, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
What a piece of shit that movie is.
Hot loaf of garbage.
All right. Five knuckle shuffle time. I think John Cena's probably wrestling right about now. It's SummerSlam, everybody.
SummerSlam. Who's champ?
CM Punk champ? Won the CM Punk won the title last night. I hate the fact, also sidebar, I hate the fact that all the big WWE events now are 2 days, because it just makes me not want to watch either night, because I don't want to watch 8 hours.
Wait till they figure out how to make the 2 day Super Bowl.
First half Saturday, second half Sunday.
I mean, you know, don't give many ideas.
24-hour halftime show.
Anyway,
Post Malone doing the Lindy Shuffle. 24 hours.
The Charleston.
Yeah.
All right, Nate, you're the special guest. Five knuckle shuffles, buddy.
If you have a number greater than zero, I'll drive to Delaware and beat you with a hammer.
Okay.
If I have a number greater than zero, we can drive to Delaware and beat Nate with a hammer.
No, go ahead, Nate. I respect you too much.
No, it's definitely a zero. I didn't find anything redeemable about this movie, and they're like, fine, whatever. I guess you could be maybe drunk and high enough to enjoy this as background noise, but I was both, and it was still terrible. So, just what is the point to taking, like, this is just one of my hugest pet peeves, is when you take a sort of beloved property and you undermine literally everything about it that made it interesting and crank out a movie that's just like, well, you wanted more of this, right? And it's like, no, yeah. I don't want more of it. What I wanted was more of the feeling that I got from a competently produced thing with these elements. What you did was slap Terminator 3 on what could have been literally anything. Like, this could have been a sci-fi original. Like, these two people have to hook up while robots chase them. Like, okay,
right.
Who the fuck cares? It's hollow. It's spiritless. It's like, I mean, its maybe greatest achievement is that it almost feels like it was written by AI several decades before AI became a thing that could write a movie.
Yeah,
and I totally agree. I'm going to pass the mic to Sean.
It's a zero for me, too. I would give it a negative only because it made so much money that it engendered more Terminator movies. If this had been, like, a colossal bomb, like, you probably still would have got a Terminator movie like years afterwards, because, you know, they can't leave anything to die. But like, this made so much money, like, we'll just keep cranking this bullshit out. Like, there's nothing going on. There's like almost nothing memorable about it. Like, I don't care. I don't care about anybody in it. Like, the improvement in effects technology, it puts it in that weird zone that a lot of these movies are in, where they just look like shit. Like, mm-hmm. You know, they're not lit. Like, they didn't figure out lighting until like 3 years ago, so everything has this weird sheen on it, and it doesn't exist in space in the way that like a puppet or a model or something does. Claire Danes, like, I think she's cute, but, and I don't think she's a bad actress, but she's like unusually bad in this movie. But I think it's because she's completely directionless. I don't know if Nate or TJ said it's like, oh, they haven't had a line in a minute, so go ahead and just pull the string on her back and she'll say something like,
there's a snake, like, in my boot.
Yeah, there's nothing like nothing anybody says like has any weight. Like, I don't care. You already told me at the beginning of the movie it's going to happen anyway. So like, and I know he's going to live because he has to for the events of the rest of the movie to happen. So like, there, you know, it's so predetermined and pre-plotted. Like, I could only be interested in them as people, and they're not people. He's John Connor. He has to live because of reasons. And he's going to pork her, so she has to live because of reasons. And they both have to live because otherwise the movie wouldn't have happened, because she would have been there to send the other thing back in the first place. So what are we even doing? It's a zero.
Yeah, it's interesting because they don't go anywhere with, well, who are the offspring that they have that are so important, right? Like, we have,
well, yeah, it's a drop
this movie
line
only
in the movie.
Still says John Connor is the only important thing that matters, but we are also proposing a next gen John Connor that's supposed to be also important, but that doesn't matter, right? So yeah, to your point, Sean, it's like, zero people in this movie have any sort of staked value in the movie. Like, she's not some sort of cyber security specialist, or she's not involved, you know, like, her dad is there, but that's like the lamest coincidence,
like,
available.
Like, if you want to make her important to the plot, make her an actual doctor, and she's like the only person with medical knowledge that they know of that survives this fucking nuclear apocalypse.
There you go. still a bad movie, but that's a better movie.
It's something.
Bad movie.
Oh boy. I'm gonna give this a 6.
Oh.
Okay.
Go warm my car up.
I was not completely bored by this movie. And I will admit it has a lot of problems and it makes no sense.
It moves at a clip. It goes fast.
I was watching it while I was at work, like doing paperwork, so I wasn't 100% focused on it, but I didn't really need to be.
I think that's the target viewing experiences.
But I did pay. I did watch with rapt attention that whole car chase scene, that like 15-minute car chase and like construction truck chase. That thing was awesome. And obviously there's a ton of CGI in that scene, but I could see a lot of bad CGI throughout the movie, but that scene I thought looked really good and really sharp.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And like, as I was watching it, I was like, God damn, like did Michael Bay direct this? Cause it looked just like something out of Transformers.
You're right.
With like the cop cars flying around and the big crane thing, whatever. I don't even know. What do you call those things?
Crane truck.
Cherry picker. Or was it a crane or a cherry? I can't remember.
It was a crane truck.
Yeah. Like, that scene rocked the shit.
Yeah, that scene was really good.
But then I went back to being boring. But I don't know. I don't have as much of affinity for any of these movies as you guys for the Terminators. Like, the first one's good. I really like the second one. But it's not like an earth-shattering franchise for me. So I don't have as much invested. Like, it was fine. I'll give it a 5, not a 6. I'll take it down to a 5.
All right, fine.
It was fine, but like
you won't think about this movie in a week.
But like this movie is I won't think about it, but it is memorable because the Terminatrix, even though the CGI is awful, like that concept is awesome. Of her, like, just being able to adapt to, like, weapon systems and things. Like, it's a neat concept. They just executed it horrifically.
It's just dumb.
TJ.
It's a 1 for me, dog. I did not care for this movie at all. It only gets a 1 because Christina Loken's really hot. And I like that. The gay scene that was funny, but overall this movie is just incoherent trash. I just didn't like it. To Nate's point, I mean, it does just feel like just the most soulless cash in of this franchise, and it also feels like a movie where, like, you know, Terminator 1 is a perfectly cromulent movie that doesn't really need a sequel. Like, I feel like if they never made another Terminator after 1, you'd be like, yeah, it's a good movie. But like, Cameron had an idea and Terminator 2 is really good. This movie doesn't feel like anybody had an idea other than we need to do something money with this franchise. We need to make money. And then they're just like cobbled together a script that kind of makes sense, but doesn't really at all. Like we've pointed out throughout this entire podcast, like there's so many points where it's just like, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Like it just seems really like slapped together without a whole lot of thought to it. And I don't know. It's just, if you can feel it as you watch it, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's a whole lot of nothing. Like, and I didn't like it at all. So it's a 1 for me. Gogs.
I mean, like, it is the zeroest of zeros. It is taken something I've loved and ruined it. It is poorly made. It is a frantic, hot piece of shit, and it is terrible, and I hate it, and I hate everyone that was involved in it. It is the absolute worst, and, you know, kind of, that's it. It's like, why would you make it? It's completely inconsequential. Like I said before, it wipes out everything about the second movie. It completely makes the lore pointless. Like, there's no reason to have the movie because if it's all going to happen anyway, who gives a rat's ass? Like, it's just so fucking bad.
The other thing is, just sorry, guys, something I just thought about. So this movie was like successful. but it took a while for Salvation to come out. So they clearly didn't have any other ideas after this movie, because Salvation is almost like another, like Salvation and Genesis in their own ways are kind of both soft reboots. So it's like they really had nothing.
I bet you it was a rights thing. I bet you that's why they're so far apart.
Probably like they didn't have the ability to.
Yeah.
This is the second highest grossing Terminator movie.
That's crazy.
Oh, so still. Two in this?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so bad. And like everyone, it's, I don't know. I hate it. I hate every bit of it. So I have a proposal since he's a guest. Can we let Nate pick the next movie?
Oh, please pick Sin City.
Oh, geez. I got to pick a movie now?
Well, you got to come back too if you pick the movie. So.
Uh-oh. Man. I mean,
well, that'll work because I won't be on next week. I'll be on a cruise.
Oh, hell yeah. Ooh.
So
where are you going?
Can take my spot. The Caribbean.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Very nice.
That's where the pirates are at.
Right?
Some of them.
Well, Nate, you know the rules.
Yeah, I got to pick a movie that's got an actor from this movie in it.
Yeah. Yes. We have not. Not just Jack Noseworthy. Just so you know.
Jack Noseworthy.
We have not
a guy used, who wasn't even in the movie, technically.
We have not used Arnold Schwarzenegger this season.
That's true.
He's available.
Claire Danes,
and Nick Stahl. So your three main characters, or Christina Loken. All of them are available for you.
Yeah, I will not take Schwarzenegger. Yeah,
mine was going to be Christina Loken, and we're going to watch Blood Rain.
Mm. All right. Here's what I'm going to do, because I will be back on, and I haven't seen this in a while. I'm going to do Romeo plus Juliet, which stars Claire Danes as Juliet.
No.
And we'll see what the hell happens Lerman there.
Movie. Oh, no. All right.
Oh, can we go off of directors? Because didn't Baz Luhrmann do The Greatest Showman?
He did. Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Maybe next year.
I thought it was directors on the table. We haven't done directors yet.
God, how would we wanted do it that, to be, but though? I don't think we ever came to a... Yeah, I guess that doesn't... Oh, he did
because you pick one so director, and it's not like there's another director directing the movie.
Whoever associate produced it that was also director.
It's a fair point.
Well, I mean, if you did actor or director, you could work it both ways.
That's next week is Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, a movie I haven't seen since like 1997.
Yeah.
Which I remember hating.
I remember being a very emo feeling.
I hated that movie. I just remember like the gun say like rapier on the clips or something. It was.
But we get John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Playing Tybalt.
John Leguizamo has been in so many movies, the podcast movies.
Hey, crunchy.
What's going on, Crispy? It's that girl.
That's the show. Right. Next week, we'll see you with Romeo plus Juliet. You know, hopefully it works out for him in this version. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time.
It'll go as well as this movie went, so it's fine.
A pox on both your houses.
It's got to be better than this.
Oh, it has to be.
Oh, infinitely.
All righty. Bye, everybody. Bye, Nasty Nate.
Thanks, Nate.
Toodaloo.
Thanks for
seeing you next week.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yay.
All right. Good night, everybody. Boys.